And now, let's get back to Barely Legal with Robin Earl and David Spada. Whoa.
Okay, it's 21 past the hour. David, we're moving right along here, talking some, Blackhawk hockey. And now we're going to get more into the baseball arena. And no better guy that I can think of that can talk some baseball with the best of us, the pride of Mount Carmel High School. We've got the lefty, the legendary, Mr. Billy Pierce. How you doing, Billy?
Very good, Robin. Everything's fine. Can't complain a bit.
Can't complain. You know, I'm looking at you're born in 1927. It's the same year my dad was born. You guys got the same age of 82, man. I'm telling you, you're looking good, man. I'm going to be seeing you on the golf course soon. How's that swing coming along?
Everything coming along not too good. I haven't practiced yet. I got to get out there and practice.
You know, you're probably like most of us. You know, when an event comes up, he says, throw the clubs in the back of the car. We'll get loose as we go, right?
Well, at this age, I can't practice too much. Tires me out, you know.
Are you a lefty golfer or a righty, Billy?
I'm a lefty hoper.
A lefty hoper.
Hope it goes straight.
I got a kick, David, out of Billy. You know, I called him up the other day, and I says, hey, how does Friday look sometime between 11 and 12? And he says, wait a minute, I got to check my doctor's appointment schedule before I can commit to anything.
That's the truth.
That's how my in-laws are watching my kids. I mean, my 5, 4, and 3-year-old, they're always checking to see if they have a doctor appointment.
Well, you know, when you get up in age, and my wife and I both, between the two of us, you know, you see the doctor once in a while, so you have to make sure you got your appointment straight.
There you go. Now, you're looking great health, Billy, and we're so happy to have you on here. Let's talk some White Sox baseball. I don't think Ozzie is really, you know, he's probably expecting a little bit more and so forth. I can see a little frustration in his voice when he talks. What's your opinion?
Well, I can see why he'd have frustration without a question. I mean, we've had certain things happen this year. I mean, of course, you're going to have injuries, and there seems to be more nowadays than there ever was in baseball before, but just a lot of them. But we seem to either we get absolutely no hits. I mean, we got shut out 6 times now this year. Now, that's a lot of shutouts.
That is.
For a team that's got some guys that can hit the ball. But there's different fellas playing different positions this year, and I think they're taking a little time to get used to things. And Ramirez, who was really a key man last year with Carlos Quinton, the two of them, are having maybe that second year
jinx
blow up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And now I see Ramirez got 3 hits the other night, which is good. If we can get them going, because Canerco, which usually has a bad start, is having a decent hot start. He's hitting 300.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Dye isn't doing too bad. Tomy's hit some home runs, but his batting average is down. So, you know, we got to get it together, though. I mean, you can't. We all are Sox fans. You watch the game, you get a man on third base and can't bring him in. I mean, that is with less than 2 outs. I mean, this has hurt us a lot. The pitching has been inconsistent. I'm rambling on about the White Sox because I do watch them closely.
Yeah, please do. I mean, you know, we got a lot of White Sox fans that listen to our show, and we do stream live. This is the new era now, Billy.
Yeah.
You know, this is where we could someone in Italy or someone in Australia or someone in Eastern Europe can listen to our show live, but more than likely they pick up the website and podcast it and listen to it later. It's kind of cool, don't you think?
It's something modern for me, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it gets.
I go back to the old days, you know, the battery radios and things like that.
The transistors, right?
Yeah,
the telegraph,
and the Morse code.
Oh, I had somebody called me up this morning and said, "Well, I'll email you something." I said, "No, you won't." I said, "I have a fax machine, but that's as far as I go."
As far as you go. You know, you take a look at all the, you know, the in the last 10 games are 3-7, but in all reality, they're only 2 games out of first place.
That's the one good thing about it. The division is quite even. And how long Kansas City is going to stay up there, who knows, you know. And Detroit, which we thought last year was going to be a great ball club,
mm-hmm.
Still have potential in there. But we've got to get our pitching settled. I mean, Burley's pitched well in all his ball games. Danks has pitched fairly well in most of his games. But Floyd has not, after the first 2 ball games, just for some reason he's getting behind the hitters, and having some problems. And after that, though, there's big question marks with Colon and Contreras. But the first three, I think, are going to, in the, before the year's over, are going to be pitching good ball for us.
Yeah, I think so. Burley's really has had a pretty outstanding beginning. Was he 4-1, 5-1?
5-1.
5-1.
Right, and he got shut out the other day 4-0, which he didn't pitch bad at all.
Right. You know what I like about Burley? He gets up and pitches. You know, he don't mess around.
Well, the games don't take 4 hours, that's for sure, which is very, very, you know, people always talk about it because I guess I pitched a lot like that in speed. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, people like to go out there. The game was quick. And they, if we ever had a doubleheader with Early Wynn and Dick Donovan pitching, that mm-hmm. was about an eight-hour doubleheader. They were very slow.
Wow.
But doesn't it put the fielders at a disadvantage because they kind of lose their concentration here?
Without a question. Without a question, the pitcher, the fielders, I've always talked to a bunch of them. They like you when you pitch fast because they're ready at all times, and you aren't going 3-2 on everybody, and your ball is strike one, strike two, and they're ready at all times to make a play. And if you, the longer it takes, the more they may be back on their heels a little bit.
Take us back to June 27th, 1958. I've got I got your whole bio in front of me here, okay? Now, it says here, you came within one batter of becoming the first left-hander in 78 years to throw a perfect game.
And then I choked up, see?
Hey, what happened?
Actually,
what inning did that hit come in?
Now, wait a minute. You can tell you're a football player.
Yeah.
No, actually, we had two outs in the ninth inning. We had the first 26 batters were out.
Oh, jeez.
There were two outs in the ninth inning, and a fellow by the name of, I do remember the name, Ed Fitzgerald came up to bat pinch hitting for the pitcher, who, as you know, if everything goes 1-2-3, 1-2-3, the pitcher would be the ninth hitter.
Right.
And he pinch hit, and we knew he was a fastball. First ball hitter, and we threw him a curveball, and he clunked it over into right down about a foot and a half fair down the right field line.
And the president of the United, or the vice president of the United States at the time, Richard Nixon, was rooting for you at the time. Richard Nixon.
You know, that was a funny thing. I met him about a couple of years later in Washington or something, and he said, I'm watching that game, because Washington was coming over that the TV in D.C. there. And he said, I could have kicked the television set in. Yeah, so he was watching it, yes.
That's got it. That has got it. It's like so close, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there was a time there we weren't winning an awful lot of games for some reason in that span of time, and a win was very good. And we were only ahead 1-0 going into the eighth inning. Then we scored 2, and we were ahead 3-0.
Okay.
So, I mean, the most prominent thing we were thinking about, it's winning the ball game. There's no question about that. Then, of course, when you get two outs, you think, well, we got a chance here, you know. And I made some enemies from what I was told, but it wasn't on TV, and they had called the stations to get the TV cameras down there. And mm-hmm. I think the guys just walked into the ballpark when the guy got the hit.
Got the hit. Hey, I also see here that you were matched up with Whitey Ford 14 times during your career. That had to be some experience.
Oh, well, you know, people say, was that tough? Actually, Whitey was not the greatest hitter. That wasn't tough. It was those other eight guys that they had in the lineup that were
I'm looking at some of the people who managed you and you dealt with. When you were pitching in the East-West All-American Boys game, your manager was Connie Mack, and then you appeared on Babe Ruth's radio show. What was it like working with Connie Mack and talking to Babe Ruth?
Well, it was a fantastic thrill for me to meet either one of those two men, but it was something different to see a man in the dugout with a straw hat on and a suit on. You know, he was the last person allowed in the dugout to be in full dress, like the old timers, I guess, were. But he just came into the ballpark there. We worked out all week long, and we had some pretty nice fellas named Mel Ott and mm-hmm. Carl Hubbell were working with us during the week. And then and Mel Ott was the manager of the West team, and Connie Mack came in the morning of our ball game to manage the East team. So it was quite a thrill.
Fantastic.
Ray Ruth, of course, was fantastic. You know, that's one of the names in my day, I'll tell you.
Who was your favorite person to ever meet? Is there someone you always wanted to meet and you got to meet and you're like, this is incredible?
I'll tell you who I have a picture of downstairs with John Wayne.
The Duke.
He was kind of a hero, you know, to us in the movies and things like that. And he came into the dugout one day and signed a baseball for me, and we got a picture taken together, and I got that. And that was quite a thrill.
Yeah, that's great, man. This is the Barely Legal Show. We're talking with the great legendary lefty from the White Sox, Billy Pierce. And Billy was, you know, we put an ad in the Sun-Times every Friday to preempt our show, and sorry about that, but we're the Barely Legal Show ad is on the Cubs section. Okay.
I think I have as many friends that are Cub fans as White Sox fans. There's a lot of Cub fans in Chicago, no question.
Just want to see a Chicago team do well here. I mean, we went how many years without winning a World Series till the White Sox did in 2005?
That was pretty good. That was 40-some years.
And then you caused part of the problems with the Cubs. The Cubs haven't won a World Series in 101 years, but in 1945 they played the Detroit Tigers, and a young Billy Pierce was on that team that beat our Cubs.
That's right. I have a nice World Championship ring for that. But I was on the team, and that's about all you could say. I sat on the bench. I pitched batting practice. I shagged flies in the outfield. I was eligible to pitch, but they had fellas like Trout, Newhouser, Trucks, pretty good pitchers Detroit had at that time. There wasn't too much chance of any rookies getting in, that's for sure.
And that was your only World Series ring, right?
Oh, yeah. I have two pennant rings. You know, I had one with the White Sox and in 59, mm-hmm. and one with the Giants in
62.
Mm-hmm. But those are just a National League and an American League.
Wow, that's tremendous. You know, David, I've always said that there's certain individuals in the Chicago area that are former athletes, and none better than Billy Pierce. The way he handles himself, the way he treats people, the way he's so cordial, he's approachable. And Billy, that's what makes, you know, with the Chicago, you know, Chicago's in my opinion the greatest sports city in the world, and just for us to come together and share some times, whether it's on the golf course, raise some money for charity or whatever. But you're an absolute ace, and I want to tell you that from the bottom of my heart. I really like this guy, David.
And they got a statue in Comiskey Park now, which is amazing. I'm glad they recognize you for all your years, what you did for the White Sox. I wish the Hall of Fame would. I'm looking at some of these stats here; they're incredible. You have better stats than five of the people in the Hall of Fame are left-handed pitchers, and you are not, and it's amazing. I mean, you ranked 10th among left-handers in career wins, 6th in games started, 8th in
shutouts.
Seven-time All-Star. You, two-time Pitcher of the Year. Your number 19 is retired. You got the statue. I want to see you in the Hall of Fame. Does that really hurt you that you haven't gotten consideration?
I could truthfully say not bad. Because, I mean, I thought of it for a while, but, you know, back when we played, you know, nowadays it's very surprising. If a fella pitches 5 or 6 pretty good ball games, all of a sudden somebody starts talking about the Hall of Fame. Nobody ever heard of we heard of the Hall of Fame, but the Babe Ruths, the Lou Gehrigs, and the people like mm-hmm. that. But it wasn't talked about when I was playing ball. It's nowadays, it just seems that is a major thing. So it wasn't any major thing that I was thinking, I have a chance for the Hall of Fame. Never thought of it. And I was a tremendous thrill for me when they retired my number. And then a couple of years ago when the statue, I mean, mm-hmm. you can't ask for much more than that in your hometown.
And a lot of the birds are happy. There's a place from the rest, Comiskey Park, on the statue.
Excuse me?
Now the birds have a place to rest on your statue, Comiskey Park.
Yeah, that gives them a chance.
You're taking care of everybody.
If there's a couple things there, and I know you over your 20-year big league career, man, that's awesome. Is there anything that really, really stands out? I mean, when people ask me that, Billy, you know, I only played 9 years professionally, but, you know, I think it was just the relationships, the camaraderie with the ball players and so forth that I'll remember a lifetime. Is there anything that really stands out in your mind during that 20-year career?
Well, you know, just like you're talking about, the relationships you have, I roomed for 11 years with Nellie Fox. We were very, very close friends. We played gin rummy probably every night after a night game on the road.
That's cool.
And we got to be very, very close. Jimmy Landis, we got to be close with. Rivera. different fellas over the years that you get to be acquainted with and friendly with, know their families and everything, you can never take those places. I mean, there are certain games that you have. I mean, I did happen to win a game in the World Series with the Giants. That always stands out. My first All-Star game, being a starting pitcher, that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
But as you say, the acquaintances you make, and I'll tell you, since being in Chicago here these last 45 years, I have really enjoyed going to some of these charity golf outings. I meet some ex, like yourself, ex-football players, ex-basketball players, hockey players, and people that I have watched play. And those things, it's just enjoyable to get out there sometimes.
Yeah, it really is. And now that the weather is finally starting to cooperate a little bit, boy, we've had a lousy spring so far.
Oh, hey, wait, when I mentioned players, I forgot one, and I got to mention soccer players like Willie Roy.
Oh, Willie Roy, the best.
I got to mention Willie. If he ever hears I mention everybody else and didn't mention soccer, I'd be in trouble.
Well, I tell you what, next time we see him, boy, he's gonna get on us if we don't mention him. In fact, we got to get Willie as a guest because we are in soccer season. I keep forgetting to bring up the Chicago Fire.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Fred Huebner, who does it. The show is the Fire broadcaster.
Yep, right here at in the studios here.
You had a lot of fun with Willie. He's enjoyable.
He's great.
I see also that you were managed in 1946 by Gabby Hartnett, another Cub legend.
Yeah, at Buffalo.
At Buffalo. What was it like? What was Gabby like?
Pardon me?
What was Gabby like?
He was very good. And I'll tell you, we had a game at Buffalo, the reporters and different things against a bunch of the old-timers and stuff like that. And he hit a home run at that time. So he was great, except he did not like to fly in airplanes. And we had to make a flight one night. I'll never forget, just a short flight from Buffalo. I forget where, Rochester or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And we had to get on this plane, and a young fellow named Art Hottleman and myself. And we were kind of kidding around, and he told us, "You guys kid, and you'll never pitch again." I mean, he was scared to death riding in airplanes.
Kind of like John Madden.
He was a tremendous gentleman and a great catcher. And I've looked at his records. He is probably one of the better all-time catchers of all time, at any time.
Did you ever think, besides the perfect game you missed on 8 2/3 inning, you had exactly 1,999 strikeouts. That just blows my mind. I mean, you had to be, you got to think about things like that.
The only time it blows my mind is when I look at the thing and they say 2,000 or more, and I'm not listed, you know.
Here's what we do. We call Jerry Reinsdorf. He did this for Minnie Minoso to play in 4 or 5 decades. Let you go out there, strike out one more guy so you get your even 2,000.
At this age, I think that is kind of an impossibility.
Well, Jose Contreras is about 50, and he's out there pitching still.
But, hey, Billy, we're up against the clock. Loved having you on, man. You've just enlightened our day-to-day. And we'll get the White Sox. Ozzie's going to get them going. Kenny Williams will get them going.
They're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, we'll win a lot of games. We're going to be in that top. As long as there's a great race going for that Central Division, that's what the fans look for. As long as they can get up and brush their teeth and compete every day. But anyway, we look forward to it. And I'll probably see you June 1st, right, out at the golf outing?
I'll be there for sure.
All right, buddy. Take care. God bless.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. We are the Barely Legal Show. 888-463-6748. We'll be back in a couple minutes. The commercial critics claim that you should never start with a question. They might be right, but the heck with those so-called critics. So I'm going to start by asking the listeners two very important questions. Question one, how many millions of people have a home phone and or cell phone in the Chicagoland area? Question two, how many would like to have unlimited calling from their home phone and cell phones for only $24.95 a month with no credit checks, no deposits, or contracts to sign? Well, if you're like me, the only answer I can come up with is a resounding yes to both questions. Hi, Robin Earl here, and I'd like to introduce you to Liberty International and the massive rollout of WiMAX, which is going to happen very soon to the Chicagoland area. What is WiMAX, you say? Well, all I know is WiMAX is the fourth generation, or 4G as the techies call it, of wireless technology. It is designed to enable high-speed mobile internet access. Experts predict that by the end of 2010, the United States will have over 140 million subscribers to this new WiMAX technology. So what does all this mean and how does it benefit you? Well, by going on the Liberty International phone service for only $24.95 a month. And remember, there's no tax, no deposits, no credit checks or contracts to sign. And when you refer three friends or neighbors to our service, your phone service is totally free. You will never have to write a check to your home phone or cell phone provider ever again. If you'd like further information about Liberty International and the incredible opportunity it provides, please give me a call at 224-515-0500 or visit my website at robinearl.net. Again, that's 224-515-0500 or my website at robinearl.net. Get a hold of me. The only thing you got to lose is your phone bill.
The next time you're in the coffee aisle in the grocery store, pick up a can of Stewart's coffee. You're probably asking yourself, why Stewart's? Because Stewart's roasts only the finest beans and grinds those beans to perfection. By using the finest beans, you'll get a more consistent taste. This is the reason Stewart's has been around since 1912. Consistency and quality. Still family-owned and operated? You'll know Stewart's coffee because of its plaid can. You'll find cheaper coffee on the store shelves, but not the quality of Stewart's. Remember, you get what you pay for. Coffee's good, but Stewart's coffee is so good.